Alex Bosworth, Lightning Labs, USA.
The Chinese Wall is one of the most popular touristic places in Beijing, where you lived almost 10 years. In computer security, they use the Chinese Wall model, also known as Brewer and Nash model, to provide privacy and integrity for data. Is Bitcoin like a Chinese Wall model 2.0?
No.
Do you prefer the lifestyle from California, the west side, over the lifestyle from New York, the east side?
Yes.
Should the Golden Gate Bridge be orange instead of red?
No.
Will USA qualify for the World Cup 2022 in Qatar?
No.
15 years ago, the first iPhone was released by Steve Jobs. Back then, you started to develop mobile productivity apps, such as one with the name Do It Tomorrow. Is it really productive to put things off to tomorrow?
Yes.
Do you grill your T-bone steak medium rare?
Yes.
Does Africa have the potential to lead the way when it comes to Lightning payments?
Yes.
Do you speak Chinese fluently?
No.
Will Bitcoin be the dominant payment method of the world someday?
Yes, yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride.
So this is episode 8 of Connect the World, and this week we welcome Alex Bosworth as a guest to join us. How are you doing, Steph?
I'm fine, Edward. Thank you. And yeah, congratulations, because the Lightning white paper has his bird on the, I think it was the 14th of July, January.
The 14th,
right?
You're absolutely right, yeah. thank you.
I didn't bring my champagne. Do you have some, Edward? No. Liked it the last time.
No? Well, you gave me the champagne the last time. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, shit, yeah, I forgot. So, okay, maybe next time.
Let's do that.
Hey, I'm really looking forward to the interview with Alex Bosworth.
Me too. We always talk about him, about his mentions on Twitter, and the things he's working on. So we have a lot of questions that we like to ask him. So,
and I'm using Balance of Satoshis. Yeah. So I think I'll use it.
It's one of the first things, I think, that we used.
You helped me to set it up because it was a pain in the ass.
I remember.
It's not a pain in the ass on his side. It was a pain in the ass on my side because I forgot some things to install, but
It works flawlessly to install, and sometimes it's more difficult. It's a great asset because you can use it also on your Telegram, and that's an awesome piece of tool. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, well, let's first start a little about the statistics of the Lightning Network and about our Rings of Fire community, and then the second part will be with Alex.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, have fun.
Connect the world.
Okay, so last week we had a little over 20 Bitcoin pushed into the Lightning Network. And this week it's a little more. It's 40 million Satoshis more, with 686 members participating over 79 rings.
Yeah, we had a lot of new rings this week.
Yeah, we had.
A lot of work.
Worked his ass off, so yeah.
And if we look at the Lightning Network as a whole, like we do every week, then we see an increase of 240 nodes. So we have now 19,411 nodes worldwide, and more than 3,340 Bitcoin as network capacity. So that's nice.
Nice. Yeah. And today's value of 1 million Satoshis is $420, €386, and 260. 2,666 Chinese Kuan.
That sounds a lot. Evil number, yeah.
Connect the world.
And for the news of this week, well, first we start off with some sad news. About Tonga from our friend and recent guest in episode 6, Lord Fositua. Because last week there was a major volcano eruption with a tsunami following. And we wish him, his relatives, and of course the people of Tonga strength and hope for a quick recovery of Tonga. And if you want to donate, they start up a donation in Bitcoin. You can use the link in our show notes to check it out. And you said it, the 14th of January, very important for us. And Cash App has begun rolling out Lightning support to users. Jack Mallers announced, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, strike in Argentina. That's amazing because it's a new country. We want it also in Europe, of course, but we have to.
I think it's more important to launch it at the countries that need it the most. So,
or perhaps in on Bitcoin 2022, he will say something
announce,
about it.
Europe,
that would be great.
Conecta el mundo.
Okay, let's have a look at our rings forecast because we have some spots left at a few rings. We have a 500k 24th ring. We have 4 spots left. The 1 million Satoshis 24th ring. We have 5 spots left. And the 2 million Satoshis 14th ring. We have 6 spots left. And yeah, if you're looking for rings with a higher capacity, you can also check our pinned message in our Telegram group. And you can sign up using the polls.
That's nice because the 3M and 5M are the 10th, so that's great to see that we're.
They grow a bit slower, of course, because of the high liquidity. But it's nice to see that's also developing.
So. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yep.
Spojte svět dohromady.
Yeah, and I already mentioned it because you already mentioned it actually, Edward, because we balanced 6 rings last week. So I think we also have a record on that side.
You're right.
I was on a small holiday and Jury, he had all the work to do.
He was very fast, I think 2 in one night or something. And
2 in one night and 6 in total. So I think it's a record. So thank you, Jury. Maybe we can give him an applause for his hard work.
Jury. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Jury.
Thank you so much, man. I know it's hard work, but thanks, man. Well, we balanced our record-breaking ring, the 1 million Satoshis 22nd ring, with node owners from Canada, Spain, Holland, South Africa, Germany, Brazil, America, and Norway. Because of his excellent preparation and communication in this ring, everyone managed to set the fees low. Mr. X was our ringleader. Within 10 minutes, the international ring was balanced with 0 fees. So well done,
amazing.
Mr. X. Amazing work and on to the next one. Well, we also had a 500k 21st ring with node owners from Belgium, South Africa, Brazil, Holland, and Spain. And just a few hours after the previous one, we balanced the second ring of today with another nice international group. Although Pee-Pee-Pow was eager to start. Yeah, great username. Pee-Pee-Pow was eager to start his career as ringleader. There seemed to be a misunderstanding because of all the different time zones in the group.
Yeah.
Luckily, Remy P volunteered quickly to fill in. And after doing his SSH magic, we learned that the Ignite script was quite picky about host names. After a quick debug session, of course, Jury was there to guide, so he debugged it already. We got the script running anyways, and because the group already lowered their fees, it was balanced within the minutes. Awesome work, Remy P, and thanks for your willingness, PP Pow.
And with the different time zones, PP Pow was sleeping or something, or
it's hard because you have to pick a date and time, of course, for everyone to lower their fees. And if you are in a different time
zone, that's the most difficult thing. Yeah,
it can be very difficult, of course. We balanced also a 5 million Satoshis, the 9th ring, of course, with node owners from Holland, Belgium, America, and Germany. And just after Renz was appointed as ringleader, he got the scripts working faster than RingTools bot could generate them for him. The gossip was with us with his ring, and it was balanced within 20 minutes. So well done, Renz, and on to the next one. And then we had also the 500K 22nd ring. And it was just Stefan who was in the lead. He prepared himself hours before the balancing act himself. Unfortunately, well, during the preparation, everything seemed to be nice and peachy. We ended up with some gusset problems when the time had come. This time, it seemed that a big channel seemed to be the cause. Yeah, we saw that a lot, channel DB. Can you maybe explain a bit
about it? I've read something about it also in the Balance of Satoshi's group and in our community also, that when the channel database file is too big, then you can have some problems. And I saw it today again with Alex, to have the channel database emptied or, well...
Yeah, that's what we did.
It was too big.
I guess it was in 1 week we had two ring leaders who had the same issue. So we,
and I saw Alex saying that his is 2 gigabytes. So that's it.
Oh, 2 gigabytes.
It's an interesting topic. Yeah.
yeah, it is. Well, we also balanced the 3 million Satoshi's ninth ring with MBTZ, our appreciated community member. And he was gorgeous enough to take the role as ring leader this time. After adjusting the instructions for his specific node software, the gossip was clearly with him since he balanced the ring smoothly within 20 minutes. So great job, MBTC. And last but not least, the sixth one, the 1 million Satoshi's 23rd ring. We had, Saturday night, because it was Saturday night at our side. But yeah, we had also node operators from Canada and also in all different time zones. And our ring leader was also Canadian. Air Johnny P was well prepared and accurate, and he had fun, and so did we. He told us that it was a first timer doing this, but we couldn't tell because everything was going as smooth as it could be. So, great job. So, 6 rings this week.
Nice. A lot of people enjoying themselves and building rings. Yeah. So, that's great.
And great distributed. I mean, I see all kinds of flags. So, that makes
a lot of work
happy.
And everybody is working on their channels and with the scripts. So, great job. So, it's in the bag again for this week, Steph. Thanks. And on to the lightning notes.
Yeah, let's.
Connect the world.
Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible. And keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like MyNode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF and follow our lightning leader, Johnny Kiyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check SAT the trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Connectez le monde.
Okay, Alex. All right. Welcome. Some very interesting answers you gave.
Very provocative questions.
Yeah.
You lived in China. It was in Beijing for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And you don't speak Chinese fluently. But
I hate to say that I'm fluent, but I'm fluent in the conversational way. So I can get around, I can talk to people, but if you ask me to read a newspaper or something like that, I would have to say no way.
No, but it's very hard, right? Because all the different, because the Chinese language is all different, right? Because
There's no, they don't do a borrowing word type of a thing where, you know, if it's French or German or something like that, I can probably guess what the meaning is. But every single word is going to be different in Chinese for sure.
Yeah, it's much, much more difficult. And what kind of, because you built productivity apps in Beijing in a mobile studio or a mobile software studio, it was your own studio, right?
Yeah, that's right. I co-founded a company with a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And we built a bunch of iPhone and Android web apps kind of at the start of the smartphone app kind of revolution.
Okay, yeah.
And are they still used or?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I use them myself to this day. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's not like they're getting a lot of updates, but they still work.
So you cool. you think of apps for a solution for your own life, and then you start building it.
That's the best way I think to have a productive way to maintain things. Is like if you're your own customer.
Yeah.
I mean. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the easy way out.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Of course. And where did your interest in Bitcoin came from?
It definitely came from when I lived in China. There was, you know, they have this capital control system. So in order to move money between China and the US, it's very difficult if it's, you know, any sizable amount of money. So that kind of like made me interested in the whole concept of a global currency. And it also, you know, the authoritarian nature of Chinese government, you know, made me think that there's so many people out there in the world who don't have this freedom to move the money around. That kind of also highlighted it for me.
Cool. And then, yeah, because when you lived there, Lightning wasn't, the white paper wasn't written. When the white paper came out, was it like the holy grail for you then? Because it makes
sense. Well, I wish I had known about it at the white paper release time, because that was predating kind of when I found out about Bitcoin. But definitely when I first read about it, I think it was on maybe Hacker News, something like that. I was very interested in it from the start. And I'm more of an engineer, less of a kind of a theoretical research type of person. So what really sprang to mind was just all the different solutions that could be created with it. Especially in a global nature, because, you know, I was living remotely and trying to build software remotely. That's a big challenge into itself of like trying to build software for the whole world and then make money doing it.
Yeah, that's right. Did you hear about the 65 million ring that we made? Because the Ring of Fire, because our community member Stein reached out to you and said we have a problem, we can't get all the hops
that. too many hops,
that's right, the 27 hops
I have
limit.
A solution in mind actually, which would scale to lot many more hops, but I didn't release it.
Because it doesn't make sense, right? Because you want as less hops needed, right? So
I think it makes sense if people want to do it, there's certainly other ways to solve the same problem.
We wanted to do it
because of the community, of course, and that's the thing that we really like, that you can test something out that isn't built to do the thing you think about, and trying to do it you learn a lot, so that's good. For example, the 27 hops limit, so we have an image of that that we use a lot as a GIF. And at Lightning Labs, you're head of Lightning Liquidity, right?
That's right.
And
that's right.
What does it exactly mean?
Well, I work more on the products and services side of Lightning Labs. So we have two sides. We have the open source side, which is the L&D and L&D complementary tooling. We want people to adopt that and grow the Lightning Network.
Yeah.
But we also have, you know, we are a startup or a company. So we're also building out products and services that are proprietary or in-house. And we're looking at building a lot of solutions around working with decentralized liquidity. And I focus more on that side of things rather than the open source development side of things.
Okay, Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, very cool. And yeah, last week we had Patrick from Bitkassa. And I already mentioned it to you when we met a couple of minutes ago. And yeah, one thing he said to us that when he thinks about you, he always sees, he visions your channels, and they are always completely perfectly balanced. So I think that you know what you're doing, right?
Well, you know, I've been working with Lightning Network a long time, and also, you know, have the privilege to hear kind of the design ideas, you know, as we're coming up with them and as we're putting them into the implementation and developing the spec. That helps me kind of figure out like what our expectations are. Sometimes people come to the network and they don't really know what they should do with it. And because it's open-ended, it's open source software, you can do whatever you want. It's easy for people to kind of shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Right. Hey, okay, guys. Well, it's still the introduction, but we have, of course, the official interview
exactly.
in our 21 minutes part. So, if you're okay with it, well, we go into that part, guys. Are you ready for the 21 minutes?
I'm ready. Okay.
Verbinden die Welt.
Well, it's nice that you said that part of the Patrick van der Meijden, because he's onboarding a lot of merchants with Bitkassa to make it possible for them to accept Bitcoin and Lightning. And you started Yols as your own project for reading paid articles. Can you tell us more about this project?
Yeah. So when I first started working with Lightning, I actually wanted to build my own wallet. And this was pretty early, so there was actually no services that you could use that would allow you to make Lightning payments. So the reason that I made Yols originally was to create a test service so that for my wallet, I'd be able to have the buying experience. Then I could say, okay, the wallet, how can the wallet work very easily with the whole purchase flow? And I also kind of wanted the other experience as well of being a merchant and see what that's like. And that's kind of the way that I approach software development in general, is I try to make prototypes. I try to put myself in the place of the user. So Yols was a great experiment for me to accomplish that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a bit similar about the story you told us about developing these mobile applications app. So you want to solve a problem, or you want to, get some experience about a subject, and then you just create some
to really
stuff.
Use it.
Actually, yals.org is the same code base as the productivity applications. So that led also pretty nicely in there.
Cool. Hey, and looking at the Lightning Network as a whole, is the Lightning Network mature enough for mass adoption, do you think?
I think the Lightning Network is mature enough for certain forms of mass adoption, but there's certainly a lot that we can improve to kind of get the full like experience of improved privacy and high levels of decentralization. Those things, I think, are still kind of a work in progress.
All right. Yeah. And what needs to be improved if you think of the Lightning Network? Are there things that you want to see improved if you look at it today?
It's hard for me to say, well, I don't want to be improved. Yeah, there's so many things that we could do better. You know, the main thing that I really think about, though, is that we need to build that network effect. So it's almost not a feature. It's just that the utility of Lightning grows the more people who join it and are interacting, because now when I put my coins into a channel, I can interact with more people and more people can interact with me. And so figuring out how to bootstrap that and make that utility like self-sustaining, utility growth self-sustaining, is something that I really want to figure out how to do more of.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah.
And how do you see the Lightning Network then within 4 years? What are the goals?
I think the goals are to fill out more of the protocols and to like adapt the core protocol itself to be to learn from the lessons that we've had of the past few years. So one thing that we want to do is something that I've been playing around with, which is making it so the channel, like channel UTXOs and regular UTXOs aren't so different, that a channel UTXO can still be used the same way that you would have the coins in your regular wallet. And then I think solving liquidity liquidity market is also something that I hope we can figure out a lot more of in the next few years. That's something I've been working on, obviously, with Lightning Loop, and then with running routing nodes and figuring out how we can build more tooling for routing nodes. Because one of the hardest problems in Lightning is to figure out how to assign capital to where it needs to be assigned. That's kind of a natural limitation of payment channels, no matter which formulation you have. And so making sure that market-based process is fitting nicely and being efficient is a big challenge.
Yeah, yeah. And the Lightning network is made on bootstrapping. Is it realistic, do you think, to build a network only on assumptions?
I think it is a big challenge, and that's what really attracted me to Lightning Network in the first place. I thought
exactly that,
you know, this is going to be difficult to make it even work because we're starting from scratch. We got to build a new network effect, and that's the hardest time is right at the beginning when there's nobody on it. It's like, you know, telephones. When the first telephones came out, you couldn't call anybody, so why should I get a telephone? Mm-hmm. So figuring out how to solve that bootstrapping is, you know, I don't want to work on problems that are already solved. I want to work on interesting problems that are hard to solve. So that's what working at Lightning Labs has given me the opportunity to kind of make progress. And I think we have seen like pretty unbelievable progress so far.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, sometimes I can't get my head around it. It's only exists for a couple of years, right? This technique and the code for Lightning. I mean, that's crazy.
In some ways also, you know, we're bootstrapping Bitcoin. So that's kind of something I figured out as far as getting around my initial hesitancy around Lightning. I thought, oh, people are too used to their Bitcoin address flow, and they aren't going to want to switch to Lightning Flow because it's hard to even get them to, like, you know, upgrade to SegWit. And but I figured out that the Bitcoin itself is still at the beginning, and if you're just onboarding people in general to Bitcoin, there's so much onboarding to still left to do that it's not as big of a challenge as I thought it would be.
No. And if you look at the rings of fire concept and the philosophy behind it, do you think there will be a future for this concept of if software changes and development find new ways? Because we have the rings of fire is of course to help people to get inbound and outbound liquidity from start. And I can imagine that with all the development that's going on, that there will be a time that it's no problem anymore.
No, I think that the kind of peer-to-peer network of small node operators is kind of what we want to see. And that's kind of the purpose of payment channels in general. We want to have, what I'm not sure will survive are the smallest node operators. I think that might not really work out because there will be specialization. And I think we're kind of at the time where it's similar to like the early days of mining, where in Bitcoin, even when I started with Bitcoin, people were like buying a bunch of GPU miners and they were installing them in their house. And they're like, I'm really psyched about this project. I'm getting some Bitcoins. And but the writing was kind of on the wall that there was economies of scale. There were, you know, there's a difference between a professional and a hobbyist operation. And even though like you can still mine at home and, you know, plenty of people do, I think at scale, like, because Bitcoin became such a success and there's so many billions of dollars to be had in mining, that it really changed the landscape.
Yeah.
And sometimes we experience routing despite of setting defensive fees after opening channels. And it often happens with the bigger and better connected routing nodes. Is it possible to open private channels and balance them and then turn them to public channels? And are there other instances where changing the type of channel would be necessary? It's a question that Chino from episode 4 asked us. And well, with our Rings of Fire concept, we experience this a lot.
Yeah. So I talked about it earlier, I guess, where for the way that the channels, the ring channels are opened, I feel like there's a different way that could be approached and that could be done. And I think, you know, I haven't made anything for that yet, and it's just on my to-do list. And also, I know at Lightning Labs internally, we want to support that use case better. And I don't want to like let the, you know, cat out of the bag of like how exactly that's going to work. And it's also still like, you know, at the concept phase. But I think if the whole design of how those channels were opened were changed, I think you wouldn't have that problem. And then also, it is possible in Lightning to control the forwards. So you can say like the forwards have to be, you know, from somebody I know even. And it changing private to public status is not supported in the Lightning spec as it is right now. I made a concept for recreating channels and a contribution night from Nitesh allows you actually to change the status of a channel between public and private, but it requires a reopen. I'd like to see added to the spec of the Lightning spec is the ability to change a private and public status. Is just not supported right now.
Okay. Yeah. Great. And when all the 21 million Bitcoins are mined, do you think it will be more difficult to open channels via on-chain transactions? Because miners won't be earning block rewards, but only fees, meaning block fees might be as high as what block rewards are now. What do you think?
I don't think it's necessarily related because the difficulty would go down. So that the timing would remain the same. So really what matters is the demand for block space. And I do think it will be harder to open channels as far as, because there will be more, we're kind of like assuming that there will be demand for block space. If there weren't, then we would have an issue where the proof of work wouldn't be very effective. You know, it wouldn't cost you a lot to 51% attack the chain. But even in that case, though, I think actually channels might be useful because you would spend a small amount to get a channel. But then what would happen, I think, is that you would wait longer than 6 confirmations to use the channel. You would, and all the confirmations, I think, would be stretched out because a confirmation is really a proxy for how much money is being spent on proof of work. And so you can kind of deal with the fact that the subsidy is going away by just increasing the time locks. And thanks to Lightning, you know, thanks to payment channels, you don't have as much of a drop in utility of payments because your channels exist outside of the confirmation timing.
Yeah, you can use them still, so.
Yeah.
And at Lightning Labs, you also worked on the web-based app Lightning Terminal for node operators. What was your role with the development, and what are the benefits for users?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I didn't work on that project outside of the Lightning Terminal. I think is, you know, different at like different components, and we've kind of tried to bring them all together. And so I work more on the services side of things. So, one service that I worked on that's in the Lightning Terminal is the Lightning Loop product. And so
Loop in and loop out.
Yeah. That allows you to control your liquidity, and that's, you know, we have an API, and that's what the Lightning Terminal uses. It uses that API, and it's kind of an interface for that. And that was already present in RTL, but then we kind of said, let's make our own user interface just dedicated to Loop. Then also Lightning Terminal has a list of nodes to connect to. And I also started that project actually in a totally unrelated project that Lightning Labs worked on in the past, which was that we were building our own wallet. And the idea was that we didn't want we want to promote the decentralization of Lightning Network. So when mobile wallets connect to the network, we didn't want them to connect to us. We wanted them to connect to routing nodes. But we also wanted to make sure that they had a great experience. And so the design of that project was, how can I figure out which nodes we can kind of recommend to our mobile clients of, you know, don't connect to us, but also don't just connect randomly to the network. Pick some nodes that are going to be good routing nodes for you so that you're not going to have to worry about, payment failures.
Mm-hmm. And you tweeted a while ago about an interesting project about removing the requirement for blockchain transactions for channels. Do you think this will make the way clear for less on-chain Bitcoin transactions when opening Lightning channels?
Well, I mean, potentially there's no blockchain transaction that ever happens for a channel. So that would definitely clear up some of the, you know, issue. And I do think we do see some kind of like wasted channel space on channels that don't necessarily need to exist on chain. For example, like if you look at LMBig, a lot of the channels between that LMBig has are actually channels between LMBig and LMBig. And there's no real reason that they need to have the blockchain enforce contracts between themselves. And the same thing also even between my own nodes. I have a channel between my own nodes, and it's kind of tying up capital that I could be, you know, allocating to other people in the network. But in order to make sure that my own nodes can wrap between each other, I have to lock that capital on the blockchain with them. I have to spend that money. I have to create that UTXO.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of ways where it can interact and reduce the need for block space. Yes.
Yeah. So also the this will change the need for the first layer, right? In the future.
Yeah. It will. Well, I think what we're doing is we're trying to use the first layer as efficiently as possible. We're just using it in the case of conflict where, you know, this, if everything else fails, like there's no way that you and I can come to a resolution. We always have that backed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds smart. Yeah. And do you expect a smooth migration from the Poon Lightning Network to the L2 one once the right functionality is available on mainnet?
Yeah, I think, you know, the way that Lightning is designed, it allows you to kind of bridge between different protocols. And I mean, even Lightning Labs, we actually have our own new channel type that's different from the standard channel type. And that was made for Lightning Pool. And it has different smart contracts on the chain. And especially, you know, in conjunction with what you were talking about before, with the removal of the need for an on-chain transaction to even be represented, the network really becomes just a set of pointers of, I know you two have some sort of relationship. I don't really need to care so much about what that relationship is. I just am going to attach some funds to you, and you're going to settle it however you want.
Yeah. And for those who want to run a routing node, the most valuable asset is to know where the traffic is. What's the best way to get that information? Maybe it's top secret, top secret, but...
Yeah, I think a lot of it is secret. I think the best way to get that information is really to look at your own data. So you will have information about where traffic is happening based on even a blind attempt. Even if you opened up a million channels to all the different people, you would immediately have some information of, okay, these channels are getting some activity and these channels are not getting activity. Especially if you bought inbound liquidity or if you had some way to get inbound liquidity. And that's something that you can iterate on. So if you have a little bit of information, you say, okay, if some money's coming from here in this direction and it's going out that direction, you can remove the things that are not having any activity, replace them with things that might have activity that you haven't checked out yet. And you can double down into different neighborhoods where you can say, well, this node looks like it's working. Another thing that I think is maybe underused is you can kind of like read the signs of other nodes, and you can look at the market as a whole. So if you notice that a bunch of nodes, like if you notice a node is behaving economically rationally, you know, nodes can behave irrationally and set their fees and channels to anything that they want. But if you notice that they're behaving rationally, then you can say, oh, they're making a rational channel to this node. You could kind of infer that all the other nodes that they're connecting to are also being selected rationally. And I also think that's kind of the end game more of the Lightning Network. One reason why I don't like graph analysis and things like that at the moment is because people are doing things too randomly and there's so much noise when you look at like who's being connected to who and for how long. It's just kind of like maybe they're friends with each other or maybe they don't know what they're doing. But the longer things go on and the more people figure out what things are doing, the more you can kind of copy them.
Yeah.
Although there might be like a negative effect where you kind of don't want to signal things. So maybe people will make more private channels. Maybe people will set fees even against what the fee that they could charge. But because you setting a fee actually kind of sends out a signal to other people that there's a reason why you set that fee. And so it kind of can attract competition.
Yeah. So you have to manage your channels obviously very well. How long, if a channel is very inactive, how long do you recommend to keep it online, or do you have to shut it down pretty fast?
I would say, like, not necessarily look at the clock, but look more at the ranking between different peers mm-hmm. that you have, and say, I'm always improving. So I always have some nodes are doing more than other nodes, and I'm always cycling out the ones that are doing the least and replacing them with people who are doing, who are new, who have the chance to do more, or maybe I'm increasing my commitment to people who are already having a lot of traffic. So I'm just not staying static. And, I think the time window is also governed based on like how long it takes you just normally to see activity. Maybe you connect to somebody and you wouldn't see activity for a week.
So
you should wait some kind of multiple of that.
Yeah, I had my first routing, I think, maybe 3 to 4 months after I started.
I had some routing today, but it's something community members often say that when, well, you have to stick around and really looking for the traffic to because it's nice to have a node that's really doing something, and that's that makes you stick with Lightning, running a Lightning node. So that's
sticking the rabbit hole.
What? Yeah, and the people who are successful are not necessarily sharing how they're being successful for the most
part. That's right.
There's a lot of people who are being very successful, but they don't want to tell other people because then they're going to be copied and they're going to lose the traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest mistake that you often see with new node owners?
The biggest mistake, I think, is that people go for the top of 1 ml. I mean, this has been like since the start. I connect my node up,
yep,
and then I just go to the biggest capacity nodes on the network and I say I'll just connect to all of them and I'm going to see some traffic. And don't do that. Think outside the box.
All right.
Yeah. And do you think I hate TikTok, so but I want to ask you another question. Do you think it's good or bad that software like Umbrel makes it very easy for people to start running a Lightning node without having any technical knowledge?
I think it's great, but I also want to have more services and more commerce. I think people are kind of like too narrowly focused on routing, and we should be thinking about all the different other services that we can enable with peer-to-peer commerce. And I'm hoping that Umbrel and other solutions are going to head in that direction.
Yeah, you may finish.
I will ask one question. Node operators are waiting for a solution to change the liquidity of an open channel. Will this be possible someday? Yeah, that's why I'm asking it. Yeah.
You can do it today for sure. I have a solution, an experimental solution that allows you to increase or decrease the channel capacity. And you can change the status from private to public, thanks to Nitesh. And also he contributed the ability to create new channels. So what you're doing is you're spending the funding output with the cooperation of your peer into new outputs. So either just a new channel with them, or you can create a new channel with them plus another new channel with somebody else, and even plus another new channel with somebody else.
Awesome.
Great. So development is going so fast, man. But our community members who want to make use of that nice solution can find it on your GitHub, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It is experimental. So this is not something that's built into L&D.
Yeah, but no, the whole Lightning network is experimental,
yeah,
right?
It's extra experimental for sure. And
extra experimental, yeah. Okay.
And the other thing to think about is, of course, you could use it on testnet or regtest if you want to just play around with it. And there's also certain issues in L&D that we're looking at as far as how can we move this more from experimental into production, how can we move it into the spec. So progress is being made on that front.
Well, cool. We failed to ask all the questions that we had, but we're of course very happy that you were here. But maybe another day, another time, on another show of us, that would be great. And like Steph said, there's a lot of experimental things happening in Lightning. So I think the next time we have a lot to talk about.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great to talk to you.
Conectar el mundo.
Hey, and last week we had Patrick van der Beijden from Bitkassa as a guest, as you know. Yeah, we already talked about it, of course. Bitkassa is a company who makes it possible for merchants to accept Bitcoin. And we asked Patrick to come up for a question for you, and we can start listening to it, and you may answer it.
Okay, I would like to ask Alex, what is the most remarkable thing that you have bought using the Lightning Network?
I don't actually spend my Bitcoin so much, but the one thing that I really think is the most amazing thing is to, as a routing node operator, to trade liquidity. I find that to be the most amazing thing because it's this peer-to-peer marketplace that anybody in the world can enter, and it doesn't require any oversight. It's kind of like we've reinvented, you know, the mining marketplace, but in a new fashion. So that's something that I really get a great kick out of, like creating this new marketplace for inbound liquidity and buying and selling it.
Great. Yeah.
Cool. So no goods or products, just liquidity. Trading. Yeah.
Liquidity, I think, is a very interesting product by itself, for sure.
Cool. Awesome. And next time, we have a new guest. His name is Philip Shepherd from Swissnode and Lightning Liquidity Pool on Telegram. We want to ask him a question from you. Do you have a question for him?
Yes. So my question to Philip, and knowing his interest, maybe I would say no. Aside from RGB, what can we do to help improve the utility of Bitcoin and Lightning? What actions can we take?
All right. Thanks. Yeah.
Nice. We will ask.
Interesting
him,
question.
And, I'm very curious about his answer.
Well, Alex.
Okay.
We have to thank you. It was really nice to have you with us. And we have a news item where a lot of your tweets also are mentioned because of all the experimental things that happen. So we know our community members are really loving this to hear all the answers to these questions. So thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alex. Was great, man.
Thanks for the invite. It was great.
And of course, thanks for listening, and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping us to connect the world with us. So keep those nodes running and sets flowing and rings burning. See you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Hasta luego.
Hasta luego.